You see, God wants us to love people no matter what they look like, smell like, what their beliefs are. You see, this is the love month. We need to love one another. What does it mean to love somebody boldly? We're going to be talking about that during this month. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your family. Love your enemies and love your church family. We need to love each other boldly. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Love God, love others. Love God, love others. That is a tall task at times. We love loving God. Amen. Isn't that great? We love God. He first loved us. He died for us. He paid for our sins. It's great to love God, but it's not always easy to love others. Amen? Just look around again. I mean, it's easy to love those in church that have been coming with us for a while, but what about somebody that's just brand new, or somebody that we're not familiar with, or somebody out on the street, or somebody in the store, or somebody that's in front of us going 30 in a 45-mile-an-hour zone? How many know what I'm talking about? Man, isn't that frustrating when someone pulls in front of you and then slows way down? Lord, bless them. How many pray for that person? How many want to honk their horn? I mean, it's easy to get frustrated with people. But Jesus' life was based upon loving the Father and loving others. That's what his life was based on. When he woke up in the morning, he spent time with the Father, and then he would minister to people all day. Minister to the Father, minister to people. That's what he did all day. And we need to be about loving God and loving each other. That's the summary of the Bible. Your relationship with God, relationship with others. And you know what he says in that verse? The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is as equally important as loving God. It doesn't make sense to me. But that's what Jesus commanded us. And then I want to look at that phrase, as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. How many like yourself? Let me see your hands. A few of you. The rest of you, we need to pray for you. Love your neighbor as yourself. We have basic needs. Shelter, food, support, love, family, income. Is that basic needs? I want that for my neighbors. I want them to be blessed like I am blessed. There was a pastor one time that was praying and he was driving, and the Lord said to him, I'm going to send revival to your city. And he's like, yes. And then the Lord said, I'm going to send it to another church. Wait, what? Love your neighbor. If I want revival, what about God sending revival to other churches? What if he blesses another church more than ours? Ooh. What if someone starts getting more blessed than me? What if God starts using another person with the gifts of the Spirit or moving in the Spirit more than me? Someone say, praise the Lord. What if God blesses their job more than yours? Most people do not want to harm themselves, be out of money, be out of shelter, be lonely, be starving. So when we say love your neighbor as yourself, most people want what's good for yourself. We should want that for others. I'm not talking just about luxury or keeping up with the Joneses or having the most stuff, bigger house, but I'm talking about love, joy, peace. I pray that my neighbors will know Christ as Savior and have God's presence in their life. Basic things. So we're talking about loving our neighbor. We go to the very famous passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 10, verse number 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Before I continue to read, I remember growing up in my dad's church, and we went to this little town called Glidden, Wisconsin. And I may have mentioned this before, but there was a couple of sisters there that must have had 50 dogs. They were not married, the sisters weren't married, the dogs weren't either, but the sisters weren't married, and they would walk around town, and they would come to church at times. But when they had 50 dogs, there was an aroma. I mean, there was a constant aroma on these two sisters. And it was constant. And you couldn't get within 10 feet, and you began to smell the 50 dogs. And I've never forgotten that, because they would come into church, they would sit in the back, and everybody would kind of clear out. "Why are you all laughing?" People suddenly felt the call to come closer to the altar. And I remember one time I was elementary age, middle school, I remember I went back and sat close to them. I just wanted to let them know I love them. And so when I said it doesn't matter what they smell like, that's what I'm thinking about. How many times did Jesus approach people that were untouchable, unsmellable? I wonder how the lepers smelt with the deterioration of their skin. I wonder how the lepers looked. But Jesus reached out and touched them. Let's continue with the story. So remember, this is Jesus telling the story, and he has already reached beyond barriers that normal people would reach. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho." It doesn't say whether he was a Jew, whether he was a Roman, whether he was a Samaritan or what. "When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took" what? "Pity." Everybody say that word. "Pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do Likewise, let's pray. Father, I pray that you will just bless this word today. Let us be a neighbor to those who need it. Let us see people in need. Lord, we've been talking about this all along, about reaching people in their hour of need. I pray that you would give us extra sensitivity to bless people no matter where they're at. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. I've got physically close neighbors to me where I live that live all around me. Many of them I know, some I'm getting to know, many I do not. But are they my only neighbors? In the story, we have a man who is unknown. We don't know his race. We don't know what color he was. We don't know anything about him. That's not important. You see, Jesus wanted to know it could be any man. It could be any person. Some have implied that he was a Jew. Some translations say that. But to Jesus, this was not important. Bought this for Catherine when she was playing softball many years ago. Don't you love it? It's my pink bat for today. I need a helper. Let's see. Pastor Marco, come on up here. Now, the Bible says that there was a man walking from Jerusalem to Jericho, minding his own business, whistling a tune. Let's see how it looks. I mean, he's doing a great job. The Bible says that robbers, I'm hidden behind the rocks. Robbers jumped out and beat him. Ugh. Ugh. How many more? I wish Courtney was here. I could ask her. Now, you did that really well. So, Bible says this is going to represent this bat. I'm going to give you three words that start with a B. It's going to help you remember. Bat is going to represent beating. It's going to represent robbing. Circumstances come and tear us down. What do you... Get down there. Man. Okay. Stay down there. And the Bible says he was beat up, stripped of his clothes, which we're not going to do, and left for dead. There's a lot of people that are walking around in your office space, in the grocery store, that are feeling just like this. They have been beat up by circumstances. They have been beat up by tragedy. They've been beat up by family members. They've been abused. And who knows the reason why? And we come upon them, whether it's divine appointment, but God has us there for a reason. And I believe we have divine appointments more times than we realize. So this is going to represent this bat, this beautiful pink bat with dirt on it, from Catherine hitting all those home runs. And blood from his blood. Okay, from him. That's going to represent that. We're going to put that right there. The Bible then says that there was a priest and a Levite, righteous people. Jesus named the most righteous people that he could think of. Let's see if we can find it here. The second letter, or the second word, is going to be the brush. I'm going to call this the brush off. We have the bat, we have the brush off. The priest and the Levite says they passed by on the other side, which means they saw him. Which means they didn't want to get involved. And they avoided him by going around him. You're doing a great job down there. The brush off. You see, God brings to us people, divine appointment, that are like this. They may not look like this, thank the Lord, but I'm just kidding, Pastor Marco. But in the inside, they are hurting, they are abused, and we brush them off when God gives us a divine appointment. But then the Bible says that there came a Samaritan. These were people that the Jews and priests did not like. In fact, they hated them, and the Samaritans hated them as well. But this man, he brought healing. He didn't pass by on the other side. He brought bandages. The third word is bandages. Let me help you. Oh, come here.
Gonna choke me.
The Bible says he bandaged him up, poured oil and wine on his wounds, brought him on his own donkey. I'm not going to carry you. And he brought him for healing. Now, how much time did this take? Probably a lot of time. Let's walk over here. Took him a lot of time. Took him a lot of effort. Took him a lot of money. Let's give Pastor Marco a big hand. Thank you. And I believe that God has bandages for us to use upon people. Each one of us have got these three tools in our arsenal. Did you know that Christians can be even mean? We can be judgmental. We can be in a hurry, and we can, by our actions, we can be mean to people without even intending to. You see, when we're not following the Holy Spirit, when we're not following His action, His words, we can even be like the robbers. But most of the time, we're not. We're good people. We love the Lord. But a lot of times, I would say these two things are pretty more typical. We brush off people, we brush off opportunities. Now, I'm not talking about everybody that you see as you walk through a crowd of people to a concert or to the mall. What I am talking about is God appointed divine appointments that God has for you and I. They become our neighbor. They become someone that God has said, what are you going to do with these two things? Are you going to brush them off, or are you going to bandage them? I think about, I love using stories from our own church. I think about Bill Pafford, who shared this with me, and I had him send this to me. He was at Canopy Road Cafe, and he heard the waitress say that she was moving away. Several months ago. But last Sunday, they went to brunch there and heard her telling the table that today was her last day. Bill says, I felt impressed upon my heart to ask her if I could pray for her. He got out the bandage. I went to the counter and asked her if I could pray for her right there at the counter. She said yes. So I prayed for her, and when I was done praying for her, we opened her eyes, and her face was full of joy. She asked if she could give me a hug, and I said yes. After that, I told her I felt impressed to pray for her and to meet her, that I was just trying to be obedient to what God was asking me to do. I told her I would probably never see her again, but was glad I had the opportunity to pray for her and wished her the best. Bandages. It's like the story of Miss Fern, who led a woman over to the phone just the other day. She was over 100 years old, needed Jesus. You see, there's stories like that all in this congregation, that God is using you. The brush off or the bandage? And I sure hope not the bat. Sometimes we're bat. We use the bat on one another, though, at the church. I just got something to tell you. Whack. I just want to be truthful with you. Now, just because you say, I want to be truthful with you, does not mean you have the right to just mercilessly beat someone up. Sometimes you got to be truthful in love, that's true, but not with the bat. Jesus could have piled on the woman caught in adultery. He could have. He had every right. He could have said, how dare you? You were caught in the act. Wrong. Everybody, let's cast our stone. He could have, but you know what? He cast it aside, and he brought the bandage. Church, you and I, we've got to choose what we're going to carry around in our arsenal, how we're going to treat people. This past week, I got a haircut. Didn't it look great? The guy cutting my hair told me he needed healing. He was talking about the pain he was going through and some of the, having a bad day. I'm late because I'm bad. At the end of the day, I knew that God had me an appointment right there. I said, can I pray for you right here? He said, sure, as I gave him a tip. By the way, Christians, we should be good tippers. Christians do not give those fake dollar bills as tip that are witness tracks. I've heard of people that will leave the fake dollars. It looks like it's a dollar, but it's actually a track. I mean, those are good, but you should leave a big tip with that. The waitress could turn that and be like, oh, they gave me a tip. Oh, it's a track. I mean, that's not how we should do it. Amen? I think we should give both. And as I left him a tip, I said, can I pray for you? And right there at the, just like Bill, at the counter, I prayed for him that God would heal him, that God would touch him, minister in his church that he was going to, minister what in his life. You know, I left there. I don't know if it impacted his life at all, but I'll see him again. He's my regular barber. And I want you to know something. God's got this for you and I. And I want to challenge you today to keep this a lot closer than the brush off. Will you stand with me today? Love one another boldly has got to move into action and not just something we say at the end of service. Love one another boldly has got to be carrying out the steps. I'm getting story after story after story about you guys being in action, loving one another boldly. I am so excited about what God is doing through you guys in Tallahassee, that you guys are being like the Good Samaritan over and over. I'll never forget Nicole and I traveling back with our family in our Toyota, not 4Runner, but our van, and our car would not start. Our van would not start. We were on a long trip. We didn't know what to do, didn't have a lot of extra money, if you know what I mean. And there was a guy at the gas station who had a toolbox in the back of his truck who spent hours fixing our car right there on the gas station. He fixed it enough where we were able to drive home. The best thing I could do for him was pray with him at the end. It was the best I could do. I'm telling you what, those kind of things make a difference in our lives. And I want to challenge you as the church of Jesus Christ, people of Freedom Church, to go out and be those that love your neighbor. Because God's going to give you an appointment this week. God's going to help you this week to be one that brings the bandages. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the challenge to love one another boldly, to go beyond the passerby, to go beyond just saying it here in church. I pray that this week, you would give us opportunities to share the love of Jesus with a neighbor that you bring in contact with us. It might be at work. It might be on our street. It might be at the ball field with our kids. It may be at the school. But I pray that we would, as a church, walk in the anointing of His Spirit and bring bandages to this world.